Have an Amazon smart speaker in your home or office?
What's all that about?
Just say, Alexa, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Okay.
And listen to Boston's home for sports.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for psychobabble horse crap.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Deflategate, huh? I'm reading legal documents, huh? Deflategate.
Why is Michael Hurley so angry this morning? Hurl, baby, hurl.
So many documents.
Why is Michael Hurley so angry this morning? Hurl, baby, hurl.
It's all good, baby. No, that's not my thing.
You must die.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich, professional Instagram poster of pictures of his children. Michael Hurley.
I don't follow him on Instagram, so I get a completely different side of Hurley. I get the hot take Hurley.
Yeah,
on the Twitter
side. There's not any hot takes on the Instagram. It's just pictures of his children.
Okay.
And that weird TV in his living room. Right?
No, nope, just pictures of his children.
Okay.
And with things like family or love is the caption.
Really? Hurley's that kind of guy?
Yeah. Hmm. I
love is the answer.
You got two kids there, two daughters, right, Michael?
Two daughters, and I'm a big softie. There's no denying that.
And you took off way too much time from work to watch them.
Way too much. And you know what? Sometimes I drive home through some really nice neighborhoods, and I look at, you know, $3 million homes. I just think, damn, had I not missed 2 weeks last year, that house would be mine. And it's just, it's great regret that weighs on me every day.
Yeah. All right, so what's the deal with Tom Brady there, Michael? What are you making of these tweets?
You
and
like
the
deciphering emojis now, there, Michael?
Yeah, you got to be going through some kind of psychology situation.
I did start googling like some secret meaning to this, you know, evil hearing of evil monkeys, because I'm not super hip on the emoji game, but I was definitely surprised to see Brady dive into that realm, because that's sort of reserved for NBA free agency and rumors, and, you know, throw the eyeballs out in an hourglass, stuff like that. So it's exciting. This is what we live for athletes post hitting three buttons on their phone and us all going bananas. This is what life is all about.
Okay, so how do you think he's come across during this off season? You wrote a pretty good article about how everything would be different in an alternate universe if Malcolm Butler had just played in the Super Bowl. Can you explain that?
Yeah, and I looked in a lot of these quotes, and Brady talked about winning, what winning does. And he said, you know, he lit up just talking about winning, saying it carries you into the next year, all the way through September, and the ring ceremony is the greatest day of the whole of your career, because you get to spend it with your teammates and get your ring and everything. And so it just got me thinking. Obviously, well, first of all, writing that Malcolm Butler, this is how things change. I wrote, you know, if Malcolm Butler plays, they win, because it's true, it's factual. And you wouldn't believe the number of people that come back and say, no, Butler shouldn't have played. No, Bill made the right call. No, I don't know how that happened in the past 6 months, but that still remains one of the most baffling calls in sports history. So the point is, had they just won, I wonder how much of this drama, this constant soap opera, you know, everything under the microscope, how different it would have been over the 6 months. And I have to believe, given how winning smoothed a lot of things over, I feel like it would be lessened by, I don't know, 500.
See, I almost think that if Malcolm Butler would have played, and they still would have lost, things would have been different. Because this is the first time, because then, like, Bill can say, well, he did everything that he could do, you know, but now they have something to hold over Bill Belichick's head, and for the first time, the fans turned on Bill Belichick, and I think that a lot of these guys in the locker room, like Gronk and Tom Brady, kind of latched on to that, where it's like, you know, there's a bad guy now, and it's definitely not going to be me.
Yeah, and I think even back into the, you know, talking to the players right after the game, a lot of the defensive backs sort of saying, you know, what was this? Was it weird? Was it different? And they all just kind of put on a blank face and said, like, no, everything was fine. Everything was normal. But you knew that, I mean, they obviously know when they're at their best, and having number 21 on the sideline wasn't it. But not to spend, you know, too long on Malcolm Butler in June, but I just look back and say, yeah, you're right. Probably if you know, they threw in at halftime and tried to win, there might be a different feeling. I just think the negativity from losing a Super Bowl, maybe we overlook it in our quest to, you know, analyze every little thing. It can just be depressing, and Brady said so. So I think that's played a lot into this whole offseason of mystery and feelings and emotions and all that.
But both of them want more money. So where do you put money in the equation?
I do wonder about money, because it's funny. When I put together a story last week of all the players who skipped mandatory minicamp around the league, and it was this guy skipping for money, this guy skipping for money, this guy skipping for money, this guy skipping for money. And you're like, oh, well, Brady missed OTAs to spend time with his family. I don't know that Brady is that unique from every other player in history. So I think, you know, there has to be some money in there. I don't know whether it's just for security or whether it's for anything else, but I do think, I think.
What are you ordering a sandwich?
Somewhere. Something like that, yeah.
Are you, what are you, driving?
I was just at work, and the person in front of me didn't have a key card scan, and I was just helping out.
What are you? What are you? Miniature gammons now? You're just running around town.
Just wait till I introduce my space noises. That's coming up next.
Don't forget to lock your car real loud with the remote.
Oh man. Okay.
Can't believe the headlights on.
Yeah. Well. Okay. So the decision to sit down with Oprah. What did you make of what he's been doing over the past few months to try to make himself look like a human being? Is he succeeding?
Well, look, I think if you're a Patriots fan, you should be happy that he wasn't dancing on a couch. I think when I heard Brady and Oprah, I mean, you have to immediately think of the Tom Cruise interview and how that sort of was a turning point in Cruise's life for the wrong way. So I think Brady did much better in that regard. But human-wise, I don't know. I think the Oprah thing was about selling his book, selling his whole story, selling the whole TV12 spiel, because that's his career. That's his next, whatever, 15, 20 years, and it's important to him. I think that's what we've learned over the past few months, is more than anything, is that is as important to him as anything's ever been that we know about. So I think, you know, you get Oprah to endorse your book. I don't know what that does, you know, financially if you're Brady, but it probably sets some sort of basis with a whole new market and a whole new demographic of people that sort of know Tom Brady but don't, you know, watch press conferences or read much on him. So I think that was the point of that, and I think we obviously, as, you know, the New England sports media and fans and everyone, consumed it because it's Brady, but I don't think it was for us to really gain anything significantly from that one interview.
Why was Jim Gray there?
I don't know. He's got to be part of the Tom Brady PR team. Like, at this point, like...
Yes.
I don't know if Jim Gray runs a PR firm. There was a really interesting... I don't know if it was The Ringer, but there was a really interesting story on Jim Gray. And
then it wasn't The Ringer. All right, go ahead. Continue.
No, I forget. But it was how he gets in with all these huge, huge athletes and how he gets the decision and everything like that. And it's... I don't know if it's voodoo mind tricks or whatever, but, like, that's weird. And he's wearing, like, Casio headphones from, like, 1997. Yes. That he got at Radio Shack.
Yeah.
Pinch your hair when you put them on. I don't know. I mean, he's got to be part of the Brady PR team. And it makes sense. All of his public appearances, he has Jim Gray there. He has the rub-your-shoulder massage Monday night interviews. I don't know, but it's something that I don't think anyone is super comfortable with.
Here's the weirdness of those
interviews.
Here's what I think it is. And I thought that Tom versus Time thing was this, but I guess I'm wrong. I guess he's going to do something else. So about a year ago, I remembered seeing, I think it was Deadspin, got a hold of this survey that was sent out to a bunch of people on Amazon that asked how likely it would be for users to watch a half-hour program with Tom Brady and Jim Gray together, and they described what the hypothetical show would sound like. And it said, introducing a 30-minute talk show starring current NFL legend Tom Brady and sports journalist Jim Gray. The weekly show takes place in a relaxed, non-studio environment throughout the NFL season and includes three core segments. First, an inside look into the life of Tom Brady and what drives him, such as an investigation into his vegan diet, his fitness and recovery routines, his private life, and an off-season downtime in Montana hanging out with his teammates. By the way, this sounds exactly like Tom versus Time. Second is a look into topical issues about sports, the NFL, and modern life, as well as historical tours of iconic sports locations such as Fenway Park and an all-access look at Gillette Stadium.
Wow, that's how exciting.
Okay, so it's...
Here's where they serve hot dogs.
Right, here's that. So it sounds like he might still be doing that. And, like, this is part of the show that's probably going to be announced fairly soon.
Yeah, I think I remember seeing that. It didn't test well, the idea of it. It was just crazy to believe that people wouldn't want to watch Jim Gray walking around Fenway Park with Tom Brady. But I think that's got to be devastating, though, for Jim Gray to be a part of that. And then to see, you know, people wanted to see Julian Edelman running shirtless, running roots instead of him. So I can't imagine that the ratings would have been through the roof with Jim Gray involved.
No, Jim Gray. And it's a little pathetic. Jim Gray was supposed to be this national sports broadcaster. I mean, think about what Jim Nantz makes and all these guys, and now he's just the towel boy for Tom Brady. It's
the Pete Rose thing, though. Didn't the Pete Rose thing sort of send his career on a 90-degree turn?
Yes, he was being like a hard ass, during that Pete Rose interview. All right, well, Michael Hurley, I'm sorry there's not anything legal we can talk about in terms of athletics.
Well, can I say I was super disappointed at how little Deflategate was covered in the Oprah interview. I wish she spent the whole hour on it, but we got a little bit.
Well, listen, do you still have the notes that you had for Roger Goodell, your 5-page question?
The actual sheet I sent to the museum at Patriots Place. I don't know. I haven't heard back if they want to hang it up or not, but no, I don't have it anymore.
I still have it in my phone because I had to transcribe it because I couldn't read your chicken scratch. Like, if I had to actually ask the question for you, and
wasn't a question, it was a doctrine.
It wasn't great, but you know what? Life is about getting better, and I was ready this year. I had some good ones, and the guy actually, I raised my hand, and he was like, all right, you're third, and then he pointed out who was first and then second. And then I never saw him again. So that was, I'm getting closer. Maybe by 2020 I can actually ask Roger Goodell a question. By then I won't have anything to say, though.
All right. Well, Michael Hurley, thank you so much for the time.
Thanks, guys. Miss you.
See you, Mr. Oh, miss you, too.
All right. There you go. Michael Hurley, no longer in the office.
Nope. He is down the road from us. Yep. He'll be even further in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
We'll be down the road from him.
What do we got, like 6 more days here in studio?
No.
More than that.
Way more than that.
No, because after we get back from vacation, because next week we're there, and then I'm on vacation.
And then we're still here.
For one more week after that.
Yes.
Okay.
And so I will be gone, and so I will not be in the new state. You'll be there for a week and a half before
So we start on the Tuesday together.
Okay, so we have 12 more shows here in the studio.
Okay. That's too quick of a math addition for me.
Sure. And I'm not here on Friday.
This Friday?
So yeah. You have 11.
Wow. Okay.
11 more shows.
Here's and then lights out. That's new right. Stuff.
That's right. Dorchester, here we come. Hurry, hip, hip, hooray. Here's the CBS Sports Minute with Boomer, brought to you by Stormworks Roofing and Restoration.
So there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be outraged and shaking their fists this morning.
Happiness comes from feeling good about yourself.
Breaking the mold on sports radio in Boston.
Is that why I thought of Sesame Street?
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
At 5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what do you got?
All right, my obsession over this past weekend is the new John Travolta movie, Gotti, about the life of the mob boss, John Gotti. Have you been reading anything about what's been happening over the past weekend regarding this movie?
All I know is that at the last scene, he plays John Gotti in jail, and he's not wearing a hairpiece. So, like, you can legitimately see John Travolta bald.
Okay, like, what do you normally looks like?
Like, it's real. Like, okay. It's his head shaved, but, like, you can, he's fully bald, and you can see that. It's very exciting.
Well, I saw the trailers, and it immediately made me laugh.
Of course, it's awful.
Everything about the trailer itself just looks like every stereotype of every, like, mob movie. It's like them standing at the graveyard, and you never turn against family, and they're using the thing where they put the thumb on the four fingers, and they talk like this, capiche, hey, capiche, and it's guys in the tracks. It's like every horrible stereotype, bad accents everywhere, and when the movie was finally released on Friday, it got the distinguished honor of having the extremely rare 0% positive rating on Rotten Tomatoes. So all weekend long, this movie isn't just getting bad reviews, like it's getting crucified.
So it's going to be a cult hit.
it seems to be this way. So here's just some of the, so I was reading, I couldn't stop reading these reviews. This is from the New York Times. And by the way, the director is E from Entourage, Kevin Connolly. So, you know, and by the way, someone said, I imagine this, the only way I'll enjoy this movie is if I imagine it in the Entourage universe, as if E tried to direct a movie and it was so hilariously bad. that's why they put it in
that
the film.
That would work.
He must have done something, Kevin Connolly, to someone to get these opportunities, because he's like Captain Badass in these things.
And you're like, why?
You're like a little blonde kid. So like, what? Why are you playing like a street tough.
So the New York Times says, for many scenes, it seems that Mr. Connolly asked himself, what would Martin Scorsese do? All of his answers are wrong. And then another review says, between Travolta and real-life wife Kelly Preston, who plays Miss Gotti, the movie is like an infomercial for wigs. The New York Post, the headline is, Gotti is the worst mob movie of all time. That's the headline.
Oh, and that is saying something.
And the first line of the review is, I'd rather wake up next to a severed horse head than ever watch Gotti again.
Yeah, I read that one, actually.
And then RogerEbert.com, who has, like, you know, it's some pretty good reviewers, said, he may have been a murderer, but even Gotti deserved better than this. On top of that, I had to go through Rotten Tomatoes and look at the reviews. There's one that says, Gotti, alternate title, Gotti, I'm walking here. Feels exactly like it was directed by a grown man who owns a framed Scarface poster.
Yeah, and that's pretty much Kevin Connolly, who's been enabled his entire adult life into, again, being some badass New Yorker. And again, he's 5'3 and blonde with blue eyes. I don't understand how he's come off as this badass.
Apparently, this movie had 44 producers. 44.
What?
And I read one of the reviews. I think it was the New York Post. They went to the screening of it, and it had like a bunch of like D-list celebrities and like some of these like suspected mobsters. And they said halfway through the movie, everyone was leaving because they didn't want to be seen around when the reaction happened. Because I guess people were like groaning in the theater. And there's all these stories of people saying, I want you to make my kid look good in the movie. You know, like whispering to Kevin. Yeah. So somebody said, this is the first movie about a mob boss I've ever seen that takes the viewpoint of, he got a raw deal. So now Gotti, the official Twitter account for Gotti the movie, is fighting back. Okay? They have started this brand new campaign that says, audiences loved Gotti, but critics don't want you to see it. The question is why. Trust the people and see it yourself. And so there's a video that came out.
Now,
that they released.
Okay, so wait a second. So now everything is that. So big critics, like the special
every
interest
critic,
the special interest critics, don't want you to know the truth.
Yes, this
they because your mind will so be blown by Gotti, and your frame of cultural reference will be changed forever. They don't want you to see it. So they're taking a political tactic
yes,
and applying it to mindless entertainment. Okay.
Hear it from the people. Who do you trust? Actual people who saw the movie or some trolls behind a keyboard? Hashtag Gotti movie.
As opposed to the people. What are you?
So this is the best, friend. So I'm going to tweet this video out. Gotti has released a film where they went to a real movie theater, in air quotes, and interviewed real people who saw the movie. Here's some of the interviews they got for their video.
John Travolta, forget about it. He did an amazing job. He was phenomenal. There were times that you really weren't sure whether they were using a clip from the real Gotti or Travolta.
John killed it. I loved the movie. It was excellent. It's a true gang. He really portrayed a true gangster.
I will build something nobody can destroy.
One hell of a legacy, Dad.
Wow.
You can take a year off.
You want to hang out with me?
Do you know what you're doing to this family?
He really got the look, the feel, the emotions, the way he talks.
You show him what a man is. You show him what it takes to have this.
Okay, so they have people in like an empty lobby standing in front, like reading carefully. And she does the thing with it. Forget about it. And like over and over again. The other thing is, too, is that there's apparently some campaign to get the audience score, like the audience reviews on Rotten Tomatoes high. So somebody noticed that, okay, the score's not bad. It's like 70% of the audience reaction, which isn't abysmal. It's still not good, but it isn't abysmal. And all of a sudden people are like, hang on. Why is the Gotti movie have the same amount of audience reviews as Star Wars Last Jedi and The Incredibles 2? So there's like some kind of organized like campaign to get it to make it. Hey, listen, the audience loved it despite every single reviewer hating
this. That's got to be something to satisfy the producers.
Oh, Fred. Of course it is.
Because there's no way that anyone's seeing this thing.
I have to now.
Well,
now I want to see it.
I can't go to a theater and see it, but of course.
When it comes out on DVD.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I have to see it. It's just going to be incredible. And just to know that Kevin Connolly's behind it, I hope everyone involved with Entourage fails so incredible. Not Turtle, because, you know, he can transcend all that. But I hope everyone in Entourage just lives a life of misery just for being involved in that pile of garbage.
The ad in big letters says, critics put out the hit. And then it says, so
at least
who would you trust more, yourself or a troll behind a keyboard? Oh, and the best too is that the producers, I guess there was an interview with one of the producers, and they're saying, oh, I know the critics are giving it a bad score because they don't approve of the moral message in the movie. I'm like, well, of course, there's never been a movie about the mob that ever did well critically. Right. Never. No, never won an Academy Award. They, you know what? The Goodfellas did not exist. Apparently the Godfather just didn't exist.
Right.
Any crime movie, just thumbs down. We do not approve of your violence.
Well, they've really nailed the Italian way. It's not at all offensive or incredibly stereotypical. Forget about it. All right, okay.
Sure.
That sounds really authentically Italian.
I mean, you know how bad you have to be to get 0%? Because usually like, there's like one person who just to kind of mess with things. Well, like Battlefield Earth had 3%.
Sure.
As you were saying the other day, John Travolta now has 3 movies with 0%.
Staying Alive is right at the top of the list.
Dude, there was a movie that he was in with Robin Williams called Old Dogs. It might be the worst thing I've ever seen in a theater.
I didn't see that.
Oh, my God. It was. I mean, he's made some bad, bad, bad films. But even that wasn't 0%. So he's hanging out right now with like the Garbage Pail Kids movie.
Yeah.
Which might be the one of the
Mac
worst things.
Mac and Me's in there for zeros.
Is Mac at a zero?
Yeah, okay.
See, Mac and
zero.
Me was very sad. All right. I can't watch it. It's too sad. Like, that Mac is like just the most miserable character. Perfect. Someone look up what perfect score was.
I'll look
it up
right
now.
If
you ever want to have
That's the workout one, right?
With Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
If it's worth a... You won't be able to get through it, but it's worth a half an hour of your time.
Okay.
It's based on a Rolling Stone article.
19%.
Yeah. And then he plays the Rolling Stone writer. And there's this aerobics kick, you know, since the Jane Fonda workout.
It was one leg warmers. I remember
and
this.
To be a man and be one of the classes, you had to get a sweatshirt and cut it right below the nipples and cut the sleeves off of it and wear ball huggers. That's like the only way you could be in the class.
Old Dogs was 5%, by the way. Wild Hogs. Oh, I forgot about that, where he was like in a biker gang.
Martin Lawrence is in that.
And Tim Allen.
14%.
Okay.
Oh, The Punisher. It was awful. He was a bad guy in that, too. Oh, that was the worst.
Battlefield Earth, right?
Battlefield Earth is 3%.
Yeah, and that's one of the ones where someone just threw him a bone.
Look Who's Talking 2, 14%. Yeah. Perfect was 19%. Two of a Kind, that was 20%. And Staying Alive at 0.
I don't remember Staying Alive.
I remember seeing him in a movie called The Experts, the movie where he met his current wife.
Yeah, right. Where they made that agreement.
Yeah.
That's right.
Where they signed the contract. Yeah.
You look that way, I'll look this way.
Yeah.
And everything will be fine.
You're taken care of. Don't worry about it.
You'll never have to work again.
Yeah. Just don't worry about your career. I'll put you in something. It's all in the contract. All right. What do we got going here, Rich? What are we going to talk about in this stack?
Oh, well, Kyrie Irving said probably over the past couple of weeks, he's been doing a lot of interviews for Uncle Drew, and he finally said something that might actually make Celtics fans not want to jump off the ledge.
All right. Which is Uncle Drew's not coming out. That's the excitement. All right, here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Rich is squealing with delight. He's watching the trailer for Creed 2.
The trailer for Creed 2 just came out, and I'm sitting watching it. And by the way, it looks great. It's the same director as the first one.
It's Drago's kid, right?
Okay, so I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm like, show Dolph Lundgren. There's been a rumor that it's supposed to be Dolph Lundgren's son, you know, Drago from Rocky 4. And I'm sitting there watching it, and it's like a 2-minute and 10-second trailer. And it's at like 1:50, and I'm sitting there going, all they're showing is Michael B. Jordan talking about, and Sylvester Stallone's like, he's the toughest person you'll ever face. You'll ever face anything. And it's just him. And at the very last scene, you see a guy in the ring who Michael B. Jordan's about to face, and he turns around, and on the back of his robe, it says Drago.
Nice!
Now, this is going to be good. And you're right, Fred. I loved Creed. I thought Creed was excellent.
Like, out of, like, for real liking it, like, obviously 3 and 4 are great, but they're very campy.
Of course. And 4 is the most rewatchable, in my opinion.
Sure. 3 and 4 are you know, great, campy, fun. But in terms of, like, actual good movie, I think Creed is the best one. Because I hate the original, and I don't like two.
Well, see, the original, and listen, I know it was a classic, and I know it like won Best Picture, and I know it...
But that doesn't mean you have to like
but
it.
But I think it's way too depressing. Like, I can't...
It's boring.
If it's on TV, I'm not going to watch it.
No, it's boring.
You know what it is? It's the first Star Wars to me. It's like the first Star Wars bores me. I understand and I appreciate what a breakthrough it was and what a great film it was at the time, but I'm not going to sit down and watch the first Rocky. Second Rocky gets better. Rocky 3 is definitely rewatchable. I mean, between Thunderlips and Mr. T,
see,
without
I like
a doubt.
It much better than 4. Yeah. I like 3 much better than 4.
I like 3 better than 4, too.
Yeah, 4...
I know you like 4 because it's one long music video.
Yeah. I mean, it's... It might be 9 pages of script.
Yeah.
But there's no frolicking on the beach and slapping around in the water.
Come on! There's him... doing the push-ups in the barn, and it's nature versus machine.
Screaming Drago.
Which one is the one where Polly falls in love with the really basic robot?
That's 4.
The beginning of 4.
Okay.
She loves me.
Like, he's like, what the hell is this?
What do you got on a sports car? Not a walking trash can.
And then all of a sudden he falls in love with it.
I'm humping it. It's my sex bot, Rock. She loves me. Yeah, I mean, there's a million great things about Rocky IV. But, yeah, I mean, but then Rocky V came around. And that was actually on TV the other day, Rocky V. And that was surprisingly watchable because of how bad it was. Like, that just wasn't a good movie.
No, I can't sit through that. And then there was the one that we had to watch to go see him.
That was Rocky Balboa, I think.
I remember where we were. We had Fenway, and I signed in, and the started, and I walked right out. Just like I did for the Mel Gibson Bible movie. I said...
Passion of the Christ?
Yeah, they were like, if you want to interview Mel Gibson, you got to see Passion of the Christ. And I walked right in, and the minute the lights dimmed, I walked right out.
Yeah, I stayed a little bit longer for Rocky Balboa, but we just walked in, it was like, so what happened to Adrian?
She died of the woman cancer.
That's right.
I got a bullet with your email address on it. Don't make me his son.
Rocky Balboa, I think it's Rocky Balboa. What was the one where... his real-life son was in the movie?
Rocky Balboa.
No. Okay.
It was Rocky 5.
Then it wasn't that one. It was Rocky Balboa that, despite it not being a good movie, actually, it was fine. Despite it not being that great of a movie, had the best speech out of all the Rocky movies. And that's the one.
You got to take the hits and keep moving forward.
It's how hard you get hit and you get back up. Like, that speech is excellent.
That's not his son. Not his son.
That was the guy who was on that show Heroes, I think.
Okay. You gotta love spitting your food.
There's one line from the fifth one that had Tommy Morrison where he was going to fight outside and like this like Paulie looking dude says, like, do you need some help? Right? He goes, no, there ain't no pie in God.
That's right.
That was an okay movie.
My ring's outside.
That's right. I mean, sue me for what?
That's right.
Well, maybe you would go to jail. Possibly. So there you go. By the way, I just got an email from Matt Dolliff, and he said John Travolta thought he had a shot at an Oscar with Gotti. And it's an article that you can click on. It said many of the worst movies ever made are made by people who legitimately believe it's actually good.
Well, you have to believe it's good for it to be truly bad.
Oh, sure, you're right, without a doubt.
Because if it's tongue in cheek, it's not a disaster. That's why the room is so fantastic, is that you can tell it was made with all sincerity.
Yep.
I mean, that's why it's unbelievable to watch that film, that someone paid money to make that thing.
But it's different when you have a major studio backing it, and nobody stepped in and went, whoa, this is a mess. Mm-hmm. And you have like a guy who used to be a superstar in John Travolta, who's attached to it, and even he at some point's got to go, all right. I've worked with some pretty great directors before. I've worked with Quentin Tarantino in Pulp Fiction. I worked with John Woo in Face Off. What the hell is going on here, Kevin Connolly? This is like every horrible stereotype of every mob movie ever made, but then again, the guy probably needs a paycheck. So there are some odds that are out there for the new NFL season, and some are stranger than others, including the opening odds for the first NFL head coach to be fired. That's right. You can actually bet on that for this season. The odds for the first NFL head coach to be fired. Are there any guesses?
Todd Bowles.
Todd Bowles is right in the middle. He's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 down. He's 7 down.
All right.
He's plus 1,600.
Where's Gase, Miami?
Adam Gase. Very good. He is second. He's the second highest odds to be fired.
They just gutted the team. They got rid of everyone. Right. And Ndamukong Suh. That has 3-13 written all over it.
There's one that's... I don't want to say it's kind of easy, but I guess, because it's almost like a no-win situation. Hugh Jackson's number one. He's at plus 350. For some reason, Marvin Lewis is third. Marvin Lewis is never getting fired.
Not a chance.
Just put him at plus 9,000 because he's right there. And then goes Vance Joseph. Dirk Koetter.
Who's Dirk Koetter
the coach for?
I have no idea.
Tampa, right?
Is he Tampa's coach now?
I'm not 100% sure.
I've never heard of that person.
And then it goes Jay Gruden, Todd Bowles, Bill O'Brien. You could see him being on the hot seat. Jason Garrett.
Never.
Yeah, no.
Never. He's another guy who's bulletproof.
Never.
I don't know.
Jerry Jones loves him. He's had about seven chances to fire him.
He stays out of the way.
That's why Jerry likes him.
He stays out of the way.
Absolutely.
If they don't make the playoffs.
As opposed to what? How many playoff wins does that franchise have?
I mean, it's a good point. He's almost at Marvin Lewis status. Yeah, the one that's right.
Other than that one, that might be their only playoff win up until recently.
I think it was their only playoff win, and it took the fix being in. Jerry Jones got sick of it and paid off the official.
How about John Harbaugh floating around there in the top 10? John Harbaugh.
Yeah, that was rumored that there might have been a move this offseason.
Yeah, so he's sitting there. And
how about Jim Harbaugh getting jettisoned from Michigan?
Maybe. Maybe. Pete Carroll also sitting there at the very end of the top 10. I could see if something disastrous happens, because he's lost that locker room. I mean, everything you've read about those guys, those players in there, they are not buying what he's selling.
And Earl Thomas continues his holdout. I mean, who knows?
Yep. So who knows how that's going to...
Earl Thomas, what are you thinking? Like, what do you think they're going to do?
Give him more money.
Yeah, but like how... Like, okay. Why?
Because the Legion of Boom is no longer a viable thing, and they, without him, their secondary is basically gutted.
Yeah. So at this point, you know,
you got to pay him.
You have a young. You have a young quarterback. No. You can go through a quick rebuild. I don't need Earl Thomas. I found his holdout to be fascinating. Fine, don't play. I won't pay you. It saves me some money. I mean, Seattle's not going to do anything this season. So good, hold out. I'd like not to pay you. I will pay. You might be worth.
Please help me help you.
Yeah, good. You sit there. You sit tight. I don't need you. Well, then I want to be traded. No, you sit there and have fun. You've way overvalued your importance to this team at this point. Now, 2 years ago, Earl Thomas holds out. I'm throwing anything I want at him. But now, if I'm Seattle, no. Would I want a safety? Ooh, like now everything's changed.
Important. Devin McCourty, great center fielder out there in the secondary.
Well, listen, Jets took two in a row. Important.
That's right. That's correct. And why? Because they needed safeties.
Yeah.
There you have it.
And they're 23.
They're very important.
They're 23 years old, both of them.
And a good safety is a game changer.
They might not even be 23
You never
years
know.
Old.
You line them up in a box. You stuff the run.
That's right.
There you go.
Seattle's all of a sudden a Super Bowl contender because they have Earl Thomas on the team.
Hell yes.
No, that's a luxury.
Well,
a high price safety. Thank you so much. We've gotten rid of everybody, but here you stay. Stupid. Yeah, keep holding out. But I'm a good safety. Uh huh. Good. You mean nothing at this point. Give me Ronnie Lott from 1984, and it doesn't mean another win.
Except right. for Devin McCourty, he's awesome.
That's right. Okay, we'll be right back. We'll find out what Zolak and Bertrand have on the way.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Midday hosts are not here yet. I will. I just was something that really irritated me. I was trying to watch the video again because I've watched it 1,000 times of the
Corey Lewandowski.
Him when they're talking about a 10-year-old Down syndrome kid being removed from his parents during a border crossing.
On the news last night, it was a triple screen where you had on the left side Corey Lewandowski, who used to work for the Trump campaign, and then the middle is the host, this woman, and on the right side is a guy who's telling a story, and he goes, there was a 10-year-old girl with Down syndrome who was taken from her mother, and as he's saying the word mother, Corey Lewandowski goes, womp, womp. And the other guy goes, hey, what, did you just womp womp me talking about a girl with Down syndrome being taken from her mom? And then he just starts yelling.
What media instincts right there?
I mean,
it's fascinating.
What are we? What's going on? No, what are we doing?
It's fascinating how anyone could be that insanely dumb. So anyway, so I want to. I've watched it 1,000 times today because I'm obsessed with it. Just at the abject stupidity of someone doing that, regardless of anything. I mean, it's just truly an idiot. It's fascinating.
Like you couldn't have set up a more sympathetic.
And just like, so just sit there. Like just sit there. Like, or, you know, or go, you know what, but they're breaking the law, and this is unfortunately what we have to do, just to go, whop, whop, like, what the hell is wrong with you? And then, so anyway, so I'm going to watch it, and then they have a farmer's insurance commercial, and in the corner it says, you can skip this ad in 5 seconds, and then you hit skip, and it goes to the farmer's insurance page.
Okay.
So you close that, and it says, you can't skip the hard stuff. So, like, they had a fake skip on the ad.
Oh, I don't like that.
Nope.
The best is when you're looking for a video that's, like, really short. It's, like, something small. And
it's
the ad
ESPN,
is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the ad is longer than the actual video you're going to watch.
Yeah. But I thought that was dirty pool. That you can't put a fake skip thing.
No, you can't. There. You can't do that. That doesn't
and
seem
And then like you get credit right. for the click, which I don't like.
Mm.
So now I look at them with great skepticism.
Tisk, tisk.
The guy from Oz is on it. Too, that's disturbing.
Oh, the guy from Whiplash. I like to think of him. I don't like to think of him as the guy from Oz. That was disturbing.
Yeah,
Whiplash might be my favorite movie of the last like 5 years.
It was good.
That was a great movie.
All right, Scott Zolak.
What's up, Zo?
Scott 12 more days here. I heard you on the way in. Huh?
I think in this studio, yeah. We have about 12 more days. If you're taking a week off for 4th of July,
it'll be middle August. It'll end up being middle August.
You're probably right. Yeah. You're probably right.
Yeah.
So are you out Friday?
Oh, yeah.
I'm out Friday, too.
I'm out at 2 o'clock today. Hell of a spring book, boys. Nice job.
Thank you.
Ends today.
Same to you. Same to you.
It's been a grind up to this point.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for coming.
That's right. We're done.
Yep. This is the last day. Yep. Spring book.
We don't have to try anymore.
Coming here, all-important baseball book. Yeah. Sox.
Yeah. Now we don't have to do anything. That's right. Today was the last day.
We figured it out, dude.
Yeah.
We're starting with Brady today, obviously. You know, it gets better and better every day. Like, thank you, Tom Brady, for another day.
Yes.
I give Bertrand credit on this. He put it out there to our listeners. Give me something to get addicted to watching TV at night. Cause we need a hook to get us through to summer. And our whole show last night watched Evil Genius for 2 hours, two and a half hours, whatever that was.
That's I heard that's really good.
Crazy, man.
There's one
that took place in Erie, PA, back where I'm from, man. And it's just, I remember these pictures of this guy sitting there. Boom, he blows up. It was unreal. Like, I'm in now. That's my nightly watching. That or The Office.
I'll just watch Real Genius.
Somebody recommended Popcorn's a Netflix right. show called, like, The Wildest Something. Do you know what they're talking about?
I don't, but they're talking about Banshee now, too, and this other stuff.
Oh, don't watch Banshee. Banshee's in. Just like a Skinamax, like, show.
Oh. It's something to keep me going here, you know?
Did you watch Cobra Kai? You'd like Cobra Kai.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm saving it.
They hook you with two episodes, and then you got to start buying it.
Yeah.
So that's a no-go.
And I haven't finished it, but I've seen the first two free episodes, and I am going to watch it. Like, I intend on watching it. It's good.
The two ones, it was good, but that's like hitting this fake skip ad.
Hmm.
You don't, what, you lure me in with two, and then you think I'm going to buy your dumb YouTube thing? I already got Hulu.
Hulu. You got Mason Suzanne, huh?
Yeah.
You know, I saw him on Facebook the other day, found out he's following me on Facebook. You tune in. He's kind of cleaned up on Facebook.
He actually...
He's like a different guy. I think he's a split
capable of answering the phone. It's been very odd.
It's nice having a guy that can actually answer phones.
That's right. It's the first time.
How about that bit the other day? Hey, Bird, we want you to go to an Irish bar to talk about
tomorrow,
football team. Arsenal World Cup.
I just thought that those were weird.
Yeah. So really, yeah.
Give me that YouTube. Yeah.
We'll trade for a day. I mean,
yeah. I already got Hulu.
How do you get these
Netflix?
It's the morning thing, right?
Yeah, it's just
for sure.
Just it's get a smaller pool to pick. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, you guys enjoy yourselves.
Yeah,
I suppose.
Do that. Little this David Price. Well, yeah. Thanks for stepping in dog crap again. We appreciate it. And back on the radar.
So there you go.